I trust that you had plenty to eat this past week and bordered on ate too much. I've been trying to eat better. And then, well, my youngest daughter moved back into the house. I love that kid. She's going to be the death of me. She thinks there's two food groups. They're both candy. It's pretty brutal. Yeah, the kid's going to be the death of me, but I love her nonetheless. This past month, we have been doing a series called The Thankfulness Experience, because our hope is that we are not a people that reduce thankfulness to a single Thursday in November. Now, it's great that we were able to gather with family and friends and eat more food than we probably should have, and it's all part of the celebration, but if we reduce thankfulness to a single Thursday in November, we have lost what it really looks like to live a life filled with gratitude and appreciation. And so for this entire month, we have been giving attention to what does it look like to experience thankfulness daily. Not just a single day, daily. We started out on the first Sunday of November talking about blessing. What blessing is, what it isn't. We'll get back to that in just a little bit. The second Sunday, we looked at the discipline of celebration, and how critical it is to practice celebration if we want to be individuals that are filled with gratitude. Last week, we looked at how we respond to how God has cared for us with the things that we have. And we talked about that as followers of Jesus, we are called to the tithe, which is a calling to live both obediently and generously. And how we tend to be more drawn to living generously than we are drawn to living obediently. But if we're going to really live out of a place of thankfulness and gratefulness, it includes generosity and obedience. Now, this morning, we are going to be taking a second look at an acronym we introduced to you back in September. And that acronym is the acronym BELLS. It was first put together by two Australians, Alan Hirsch and Michael Frost. And what they were writing about originally was, what does it look like to be a missional individual? Now, the term missional might be new for some of you, but the idea of being missional is to embrace the reality that all of us are called to bring attention to the glory and purposes of God. This is not something that only the professional Christians do. In fact, being missional calls us to embrace the fact that all that we have all the time is to be used for God. Which means that we get out of living compartmentalized lives and go, you know what? My work, my home, my relationships, my resources, my recreation, all of that is used to bring attention to the reign of Christ. And to live more intentionally into that reality. That's basically what it looks like to be missional. It's not something that just missionaries do, and then we support the missionaries. No, we're called to live that way, living out of the reign of Christ in our lives. So when Alan Hirsch and Michael Frost put together BELLS, what they did was they put together an acronym that was both descriptive and prescriptive. Because this acronym describes people that are missional, but it also prescribes how to live missionally. So this morning, what we're going to do is we're going to be, one, looking at what it looks like to live missionally, but then as Chris Goffel and I were talking a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about BELLS. And both of us went, you know what? If someone is living BELLS, not only are they missional, but they are far more prone to being grateful, to being people that are thankful, which fits into our series of the Thankfulness Experience. So here's what we're going to do this morning. Actually, make sure it's a we, because you're going to do a lot of work this morning. We're going to be looking at this BELLS acronym. And with each of the letters, we're going to be looking at three different things. What? Increasing thankfulness and application. But I want you to change something. Take your bulletin, put it up in the air. All right. I know you have a bulletin now. Ha-ha. You've been at it. Underneath each of the letters, you'll see it says, what? Increasing thankfulness and application. What you can do immediately is cross out the word what. And you can replace the word what with the word missional. Here's why. I put together this bulletin on Tuesday. Come about Thursday or Friday, I went, I think it would work better if it said missional. But there ain't no way that we're going to reprint all the bulletins after Thanksgiving. Ruth just looked at me and said, thank you. She's experiencing thankfulness. What we're going to look at with each one of the letters is first we'll look, what does it mean to live that letter out and how it increases our ability to be missional? Secondly, we'll look at how that letter will help us to be thankful people. And then we'll deal with application. So you ready to do some work?
Yeah.
All right. First letter is B, and the B stands for bless. B stands for the word bless. And this is how it plays out missionally in our lives. Bless three people each week. Bless three people each week, at least one that is not part of Community Covenant Church. So, the person that is missional is in the habit of blessing other people. The word bless, if you are here back on the first Sunday of November, this will be review for you. We looked at what the Bible says about what it means to be blessed. We looked at two Hebrew words, one Greek word. First Hebrew word is the Hebrew word barak. It refers to being provided with what we need. So oftentimes it's a physical provision. So someone that has been blessed, that has been barak, has been given what they need physically, usually. Then you had two other words, one Hebrew, one Greek. Hebrew word esher, Greek word makarios. Both talk about the same thing, and it talks about what it looks like to be blessed, that when we live the way that God has called us to live, we experience blessing in our lives. But it's important to note that nowhere in the New Testament do you find physical provision being the immediate result of living the way God has called you to live. Too often we reduce what blessing is to, if I live the way God calls me to live, I get the new car. It's a fabulous idea. It's just not biblical. In fact, in the New Testament, the word, Greek word makarios never talks about blessing that way. But it does talk about the fact that when we live the way God has called us to live, we're better off. We experience hope and peace and joy and purpose. And we have a greater understanding and appreciation of things like grace and mercy because we know what that is like because of the relationship we have with Christ. The Hebrew word esher, talking about the same thing. And so the word bless in the Bible is talking about, yes, sometimes it comes with physical provision, but more often than that, it's talking about when you live the way God has called you to live, you're in a better place. It's better for you. We're supposed to take what we have been given and give it away. We talked about it last week. We talked about it the first week in Genesis chapter 12. God calls Abraham. And at the very beginning of chapter 12, God tells this to Abraham. He goes, I am going to bless you. Hebrew word there was barak. I'm going to provide for you. But then two verses later it says, so that you will be a blessing. In other words, God is saying to Abraham, and it says to us, I'm going to give you what you need. I'm going to provide for you, sometimes physically. I'm going to provide a better way for you to live. And I'm giving this all to you for you to give away. I'm going to bless you to be a blessing. When we look at the BELLS acronym, first word is blessed. Who are you going to bless this week? Who will you bless this week? Bless at least three people intentionally this week, giving away what you've been given. So the question becomes, well, okay, so that would help me missionally. How does that help me to live a more thankful life? So how does blessing increase my level of thankfulness? One, you can take time to remember how you have been blessed this week. Why is it that we fill out cards throughout November, and as soon as December comes, we stop the discipline of writing down all the ways that we've been taken care of? This is a really good discipline to go year-round, by the way, because it forces us to stop and go, okay, how has God provided for me today? How have I been blessed this day? When you take time to remember how you've been blessed, you're increasing your capacity to be a grateful person. In addition to that, when you take time to stop and remember what God has done for you, but you can also stop and think about, well, why has God blessed me? Oh, so that I can be a blessing. I tell you what, show me somebody that is in the habit of blessing other people. I'll show you a person that is way more grateful in their own life. The B stands for blessed. Bless at least three people each week, but also take time to remember how you have been blessed, because it's going to increase your capacity for caring and blessing others, and you're going to be far more grateful. Which brings us to the application. So here's your question. We're going to take about 30 to 60 seconds with this. How will you intentionally remember that you are blessed this week? How will you intentionally remember? You might just write down, I'll keep doing cards. Who will you bless this week? How will you bless them? You have 30 seconds. How will you remember that you're blessed? Who will you bless this week? How will you bless them? Ready, set, go. For all of the introverts in the room right now, I apologize, because I'm going to make you very uncomfortable. I'd like you to turn to the person next to you, because you've just done the homework. Who is the one person that you're going to bless this week? It was part of the assignment that you were just writing down. Who is one person that you're going to bless this week? Share that name with somebody else, a little accountability. So, first word, bless. Second word, the E, my favorite one on the list, eat. I love this one. Here's the missional part of eating. Intentionally eat with two people this week. At least one that is not part of Community Covenant Church. Here's the thing. When you go eat with people, you build a relationship. There's something that happens around the breaking of bread. Sometime, read through the Gospels and just notice how often Jesus is eating with people. There's something about sharing the table with someone that is really, really important. Yesterday, after our first basketball game, we won. After our first game, I loved what the varsity and JV coach did. They said, hey everyone, let's go out pizza together. And I just got to watch as, you know, 20 people or whatever all gathered together around a table and just spent time around the table with one another. Something beautiful happens when we do that. Missional people are intentional about eating. One, they go out to eat, but they also open up their home and practice hospitality and say, no, come. There's something beautiful that happens when you eat with other people. Missional people are intentional about eating. So how will you be missional this next week? Now, the next question becomes this. How does this increase thankfulness? Easiest way is to do the classic, thank you, God, for the food. My first church I worked in, down in Ventura, California, big church. church with a senior pastor that could be very intimidating. He wasn't to me. I love the guy. But he's about 6'6", sharp-looking guy, commanding presence. My second day on the job. It's Mike, let's go get something to eat. Okay. So I'm going out to lunch with the senior pastor. Big, impressive-looking Kurt. So we get to this little tiny fast food restaurant, and we sit down, and we get our food, we sit down, and I have that awkward moment where I'm going, what's the protocol? I don't want to blow this. I mean, is he waiting for me to pray? You know, is this like second interview kind of thing? Let's see if the new guy knows how to pray in a public place. Or is the right protocol to let him be the one? I was rather confused on what I was supposed to do. And I remember this. Kurt just looks down at his food, looks up at me, and goes, are you thankful? Yeah. He goes, let's eat. You know, from that day, most of the time when I go out to eat with people, that's what I do. Because I actually pause for a moment and go, hey, am I thankful? Yes. Yes, I am. And when I'm with somebody else and that question gets thrown out there, there's that awkward moment, but then there's a, oh, yes. Yes, I am. But take it the next step. One, be thankful for your food. That's a good thing. But if you're intentionally eating with people, how often are you taking a moment to be thankful for them? As missional people, we stop and we go, wait a second, I'm going to be intentional this week to eat with people so I can build a relationship with them and share the love of Jesus Christ with them. But if I stop there, I lose out on recognizing that that person sitting across from me is a huge gift. How privileged am I to have that person in my life? Yes, I can thank God for the turkey and the stuffing and the mashed potatoes. He's given me this food. Thank you. Wait a second. God has allowed me to be in relationship with this person. I just looked at Nick. I'm just going to pick on Nick for a second. So if I grab a meal with Nick, and we really should, yes, I'm thankful for the food in front of me, but God brought Nick Castle into my life. My life is better because Nick's in it. I get to share Jesus Christ's love with him, and he gets to share it back to me. Oh my goodness! I'm one of the luckiest people in the world in this moment because I have Nick in my life. How often when you eat with someone, do you take the time to go, thank you, Jesus, that I need to be in a relationship with them? Now, it's really hard on Thanksgiving itself because that's just insanity. But let's look at the other 364 days of the year. Who will you intentionally eat with this week? Will you be thankful for the food, but will you also be thankful for them? So here comes your application. Who are you going to eat with this week? By the way, your spouse counts. If, giant if here, if you're being intentional. It doesn't count if you can look back and, oh wait, I ate with my spouse. That's right. Check. No, 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 no. But if you go into the meal saying, wait a second, I'm going to be intentionally thankful for the fact that I get to eat dinner with my wife. That's different. So, who will you eat with this week? And if you really want to be one of those detailed people, where are you going to eat? You got 30 seconds. Go. They spend at least one period of the week listening for the Spirit's voice. It's interesting that when Hirsch and Frost were writing this, they said, spend at least one period of the week listening to the Spirit's voice. And you might be going, well, shouldn't we be listening to the Spirit's voice all the time? Yes. Most people don't. In fact, most people don't know how. And so a great starting spot is to go, wait a second, carve out a moment where you're going to be intentional about listening to the Spirit. Again, this is something that is very difficult to start doing if it's not part of your rhythm. People go, wait a second, how do you listen to the Holy Spirit? Well, that's an odd one to answer, because as soon as I start to answer it, I've limited what the Spirit can and will do. But I'll throw out a couple ideas on listening to the Spirit. One, spend time here. I have discovered that when I'm spending time in God's Word, and God's Word is getting stuck here and here, it increases my ability to hear from Him. It is His Word, His living Word. When I'm spending time here, I just opened up a channel for me to be able to hear from Him. It helps tremendously. The other part, if listening to the Spirit is something that is like, man, I don't even know where to start, don't do it alone. Can you do it alone? Absolutely. But if it's not something that's a regular part of your discipline, I'd really encourage you, do some listening with other people. Every Wednesday morning, I have tea with a friend. I don't have coffee because I don't drink coffee. So every Wednesday morning, I have tea with a friend. And we talk about what's going on in our lives. We talk about what's going on in our ministries. But every Wednesday morning, we ask the question, where is Bells showing up in your life? And we'll ask, hey, which of the five letters has been most evident in your life this week, and which one has been a challenge for you? 9 times out of 10, guess which one is the challenge for us? Listen. But here's what's happened for us, because we share together. We go, wow. You know, he'll look at me, I'll look at him, the listening one has been my weakest leg here. And then we talk about why. I'm so busy. I'm so busy, and things are so hectic around me. I have trouble doing this sometimes. But because we've been talking about it a lot, guess what we're getting better at? Listening. And then you start sharing stories of how, man, I really felt like God was leading me to do this. I really felt like I was supposed to be paying attention more to that. Because we've been sharing with one another, our ability to listen is increasing. A relationship with Jesus Christ is personal, but it was never intended to be private. Listen with someone. If you're in a small group, sharing on what you've been hearing the Spirit whisper to you is a huge thing. One, there's accountability. Two, if you go, man, I don't even know if this is really what God's calling me to or not, also you got the body of Christ around you to go, well, where is it written? Because it should line up with what is in the Word. And how does it line up with where the church has been going for centuries? Doing it in community, really, really important. Watch this. If you are listening, you're going to be more directed in how you're supposed to be missional. Your ability to live out the reality of Jesus Christ increases when you listen to the Spirit. Which leads us to how this is increasing our thankfulness. How often are you thankful for the Holy Spirit? You've heard me say it before, but the Holy Spirit is kind of the forgotten stepchild of the Trinity. Oh yeah, God the Father, who and I love Jesus. And then there's the other one. Francis Chan wrote a book a number of years ago called Forgotten God. And it was all about the fact that as a church, we often treat the Spirit as the forgotten part of the Trinity. But oh my goodness, there's reason to be thankful for the Spirit. There's reason to be thankful for the Holy Spirit. I was recently reading one author, and this is what he had to say. He said, the Holy Spirit leads me to give glory to God the Father. That's taken out of John 15. The Holy Spirit allows me to believe Jesus, God the Son, as Savior and Lord. The Holy Spirit comforts me during times of trouble. The Holy Spirit convicts me of sin. You might not be very thankful for that, but my goodness, the Spirit goes, no, this is not a good direction for you. This is a better way to go. I'm really ashamed sometimes when suddenly I go, oh, I've been a complete knucklehead. But ultimately, I'm thankful to end up in a better place. The Holy Spirit gives me power to do the work of ministry. I can't do any of this without His Spirit. The Holy Spirit causes me to grow as a Christian and allows me to exhibit wonderful fruits. The Holy Spirit reminds me that I'm a child of God through the work of Christ. The Holy Spirit helps me to pray. You've heard me say this before. I believe that I have never in my life started a prayer. In my entire life, I don't think I have ever initiated a prayer. Because I believe that the Holy Spirit is constantly inviting me into conversation. Now, I might not acknowledge it. And when I pray, I might not in that moment acknowledge the fact that I am responding to the constancy of the Spirit. But I can't even pray worth a darn without the Spirit. I have so much to be thankful for. The same author said this, without the Holy Spirit, we would have never come to know Christ. We would not be pursuing Christ. We would not enjoy Christ. We would not enjoy one another. And we would have no desire to live unto the glory of God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And if any of that paragraph bothered you, it just gave light to how self-sufficient we think we are. It's like, oh, wait, I can do this and I can do that. No, we can't. If we're to do any of these things, we need to be more, we are completely dependent upon the Spirit of the living God at work. We have so much to be thankful for when it comes to the Holy Spirit and listening to Him. So the question is, how will you do that this week? How will you listen for the Spirit this week? How will you have intentional time of listening? A friend of mine has developed the habit of putting an alarm in her phone. And this alarm will go off and it will remind her to read a psalm and then pray using that psalm. And every now and again, I'll see my friend and I'll say, how's it going? It makes such a difference for her. It makes a difference for me when I remember to do it. And I thought to myself, that could work for the Holy Spirit too. For some of you, maybe this is your application. I'm going to put an alarm on my phone, and when it goes off, I'm going to remember the words that Eli gave to Samuel in 1 Samuel chapter 3. Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Maybe that's how you can apply that this week. Anyone that knows me knows that I'm huge into prayer triggers, because even though I'm a professional Christian, I will forget to pray. But I have a ton of things that I've put into my life that whenever I see them, I go, oh yeah, I'm supposed to be praying for this, that, and the other thing. There's a reason I have these on my wrist. Every wedding I've ever done, I always talk about treating your wedding ring as a prayer trigger to pray for your wife or your husband. But this past week, I was sitting there thinking about, okay, so how am I going to be even more intentional and consistent about listening to the Holy Spirit? And I looked outside, and it was so still. And the smoke was just kind of stuck. Because for over a week, we had no wind. It was just, and I was just looking out at just the ugliness of it all. And I suddenly remembered that in the book of Acts, the Spirit, when the Spirit came upon the followers of Jesus at Pentecost, it was said to sound like a rushing wind. And I sat there looking out at a windless horizon. Oh, what if whenever I notice the wind, I remember that the Spirit is at work? Not that He's not at work when it's still, but suddenly I can remember that the Spirit is at work in and around me. And over the next couple days, the wind came back up. I'd hear the wind chimes in our backyard. I'd see the trees moving, and I'd stop. I'd go, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." How will you, this week, listen to the Holy Spirit? You have 30 seconds. Go. All right, let's move on to the second L. Second L is learn. The descriptive and prescriptive part of this for people that are missional, the language is spend at least one period of the week learning Christ. The phrase learning Christ might be new to you, but it's not a new phrase. It was used often in the early church. And when they talk about learning Christ, it goes beyond simply learning about. It is, yes, learning about Jesus, but so that we can embody what Jesus is like. It's not learning simply about. It's going, oh, it's like I want him continually to be made into his image and likeness. People that are missional are intentional about learning Christ. And a great place to start is the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Not saying the rest of the Bible is not important. It's tremendously important. But regularly spending time in the Gospels and paying attention to who Jesus is and then trying to emulate and imitate him. There's a reason why the early church were called little Christs. Because they took this idea of learning Christ very, very seriously. That is the missional part of it. How does this lead to increasing thankfulness? If you're taking time to pay attention to who Jesus is, you will get overwhelmed. This is actually what I wrote in my notes. I'm sitting there and I go, okay, how does learning Christ increase my level of thankfulness? And the words I wrote were, because he's flipping amazing. Don't know if I've ever used that phrase in a sermon before, but Jesus is remarkable. It's a shame that the church has ceased to be amazed by Jesus. We've become comfortable with who Jesus is. Oh, Jesus is so much more. His love, his holiness, his grace, his mercy, his forgiveness is so much more. Show me somebody that has become comfortable with Jesus. I'll show you someone that doesn't know Jesus. He's so much more. I think I became more aware of this during this last election cycle. I am so very thankful to be in a country where we have the freedom to participate in elections. And as Christians, we are to participate. But the place that I got amazed by this was like, we're given two options in the election cycle. You got this one and that one. And we spend more time demonizing the other than we are about elevating what the other is about. But as I watched all this, I go, wait a second. There's some good things there, and there's some good things there, but none of them close to Jesus. Jesus is so much better, and he's so much more. We live in a world that is so broken, and the only one that can restore anything is the Lamb of God, not a donkey or an elephant. Amen. And I when I spend time learning Christ, I go, oh my goodness, he's amazing. He is so much more. He's so much better. There's not a hymn or a song or a liturgy that even comes close to fully embodying Jesus, who Jesus is. When I'm taking time to learn Christ, I get overwhelmed by who Jesus is. I don't know the last time you got really excited about Jesus. But pity the church that doesn't. If I'm taking time to be missional and learning Christ, it's going to impact my ability to be thankful because I become more and more aware of who Jesus is. And it undoes me. So here's my question for you. Here's your application. How will you this week learn Christ? When? Pick a time. Anybody that's made goals knows the acronym SMART goals, that are measurable, attainable, timely. When are you going to do it? Because if you say, I'm going to read Matthew chapter 4. Oh, good chapter, don't get me wrong. When are you going to do it? When are you going to learn Christ this week? I will guarantee you right here, right now. You don't write something down right now, chances are next Sunday you're going to come back and go, ooh. So, when are you going to learn Christ this week? Share it with the person next to you. All right. Last one. You guys are doing great. Is the S. This one's always, sounds weird, but I love this one. Sent. The S stands for sent. Reshaping our identities around our fundamental calling as the sent ones of God. Too often the church lives the acronym BELL. And we forget the S, that we are the sent ones. We have been called to go. Go and make disciples of all nations. Go. Go. Go beyond the walls. Go to your neighbors. Go to your coworkers. Go. Bless them. Eat with them. Have the courage that when you're listening to the Spirit, they're going, yeah, the guy in cubicle 4, they could really use a cupcake. And you go, Jesus, that's nuts. I don't cook. Jesus goes, well, I didn't put that proviso on there. I just told you to give him a cupcake. And you go, oh, if that's what the Spirit's calling me to do, I'm going to have the courage to actually go give cubicle 4 guy the cupcake. I'm going to learn Christ. I'm the sent one. We are the sent ones. How does this increase our thankfulness? Do you ever stop and wonder at the amazing reality that God chose you? He doesn't need any of us, but he chooses us to go in his name and bring glory to his name. We gather to pray before every service. I often pray, God, you don't need any of us, but you've chosen us to use us. We give you thanks for that. We get to be part of his mission to restore hope and joy and love to a broken world. When you bask in the reality that you are the sent ones, your level of thankfulness will increase. And if you live into it, your missionality increases as well. Throughout this month, throughout your application, I'm going to give you your application on this one. Journal for 1 week. Journal for 1 week. Specifically, this is what I'd love you to journal about. And I can't take any credit for this. I took this right out of the book that Frost and Hirsch wrote. Note all the ways you see yourself being used by God to share the fullness of the good news. Journal throughout the week. This is how I got to be used by God. This is how I got to be used by God. This is how I got to be used by God. Now, if you're writing and you go, man, I can't think of a single way, well, that should be illuminating as well. But write down. Oh, this is how God was able to use me this week. This isn't to do one of those, but to go, oh, I get to be part of God's mission in this world. I'm one of the sent ones. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. At the end of the service today, the benediction I'll be using is the benediction I've been using throughout this series. And it's taken from Isaac of Stella in the 1100s. I'm going to say it now. You'll hear it again later. As we live out this idea of bells in our relationships with one another, in our small groups, in our homes, we'll see our level of thankfulness go up. We'll see our missionality go up. That'll be a very, very good thing. It's a great way to experience thankfulness. But as you go and you live bells, may the Son of God, who is already formed in you, grow in you, so that for you he will become immeasurable. And then that in you he will become laughter, exaltation, the fullness of joy, which no one can take from you.